Very obviously, the three readings this weekend all centre on the theme of faith. And that might seem very easy to say, but in trying to understand that, it's actually very challenging for most of us. If I said to you, how would you describe faith to somebody who has had no exposure to Christianity or to Jesus Christ or even to religion? Or how do you as parents or perhaps grandparents say to your children or grandchildren when they ask, what is faith? What answer do you give? Faith is not something that is easy to describe. One of the challenges is that people who live in the world environment that we do today, and those who would call themselves rationalists, they seek to have full knowledge of who God is and understand who God is. And they get the answer to everything. We are not rationalists. We bend more to the mysticism of life. So we are mystics, or we're aiming to be mystics. And mystics neither understand nor fully comprehend who God is and what religion is, because mystics believe that faith is actually an experience. It is a relationship. It is not a thing we can hold in the palm of our hand and turn around and examine from every side. It is a relationship. It is a twofold relationship, our faith, both with God and with the community, with each other. And in our case, as Catholic people, we call ourselves the Church. Now, in Habakkuk's time, the first prophet, Habakkuk there, he is in the Old Testament what we call the eighth of the minor prophets. There are 12 minor prophets. The big prophets are the ones like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah. They're the big guys. They're the vicar generals of the prophets. But the Habakkuk was in the middle of the minor prophets there. And he's at a time in about the 700 BC, in the middle of the 700 BC, when the Assyrians were coming and giving the Jews a very hard time, getting ready for a takeover. And it's Habakkuk who is trying to get the Jewish people, particularly in Jerusalem, to wake up to themselves and see what's going on and the fact that they were contributing to the problem, not trying to resolve the issues. And so he asks, Habakkuk does, he asked all those questions that everybody here this morning has asked, because the Assyrians were attacking. And he asks things like, when is this going to stop? When is this agony or this pain going to stop? Put yourself in the position, for example, to help you understand that with the people of Ukraine, perhaps. When is this ever going to end? That's the question Habakkuk asks. And then he asks the question, why do bad things happen to such good people? It's a question we've all asked. And why do good things happen to bad people? Or seemingly bad people? Now, they are the questions that mystics ask, that we ask. We don't always get a solution, but we do get a little bit of light in that darkness that allows us to move gently forward, because we have trust. And these are the key elements that make up what faith is and faithfulness. So firstly, we would say that we have trust, which leads to hope. Hope draws us on. Faith is the petrol that allows us to drive onward and upward. They are linked together. But St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, there are three: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. That does not mean that faith and hope are down in the pits, not at all. It means that of those three virtues, faith, hope, and love, It is love that binds them together. Think of it, if you like, like looking at a piece of rope that has three major threads and they're woven together. Individually, they can do something, but collectively, when they're woven together, they form a strong, powerful rope. And it is love that binds them together. And that is, in one sense, not a bad visual way of understanding what our faith is and how our faith operates. Faith is not a thing. Faith is an experience. It is a relationship. Sometimes it is powerful and strong. Other times, as Habakkuk is addressing here, it is as weak as anything. We are frail. Go to the gospel, and then we have the apostle saying, Lord, increase our faith. And he says, if your faith were that big, a little mustard seed, you could move this mulberry tree. So the apostles, they were disciples at that stage, they may have been undergoing some sort of tension because they'd been following Jesus, and they might have been expecting some sort of reward because they were the good guys. We're doing as we're told. Well, were they? Clearly they weren't doing as much as they could. I think they probably put more faith in themselves than what they did in God, and therefore there is no love strengthening that and binding it together because they're focused on themselves. And we must not fall into that trap. None of us are worthy. So then Jesus comes in and he talks about the servant there, just to remind them about the servant. Now, in Jesus' time, there were two kinds of servants or slaves. We'll call them slaves because that's probably more correct biblically. There were those slaves who were born into slavery, and they would be slaves permanently throughout their life for the most part. Then there were those slaves, those people who became slaves. And for the main part, they became slaves because that's the only way they could pay off a debt or a crime of some kind. And to become a slave, very often it would be a temporary thing, as opposed to the permanent ones who were born into slavery. And Jesus is... and that's foreign to us, although slavery was accepted just under 200 years ago in the church. So there's food for thought there. But that's a separate issue. Jesus is simply saying, don't expect a pat on the back because you're up front here. I have called you forward, you are with me, but don't expect a pat on the back. Expect nothing more than what you are asked to do. They're great lines for people who go into leadership. Don't be looking for that public reward, acclamation. That's not what this is about, because it's actually not about you. It is about God. And the only way that we really get to come that close and affirm our belief in God is through the way that we treat other people. It's the community, it's the other. So once again, there are those three elements that are bound together. We have God, of course, we have the community, all those around us, and we have ourself. They are bound together once again by love. If love is not there, then that relationship is weak. It can be very easily fractured. And that, therefore we hear language like, oh, he's lost the faith, or he's given up the faith. That faith is there. What has been lost is the trust, perhaps. And it is love that helps rebuild the trust, because trust leads to hope. It might be helpful for you, for all of us, that when we contemplate faith, bring those three elements together: faith, hope, and love. And the strongest of these is love. And interestingly, for me at this time, as there are some changes you may understand going on in my life in terms of my appointment, the second reading today from Paul's letter, second letter to Timothy, is the reading that I chose to have at my diaconate ordination, which was held on my birthday in 1984. in another millennium. But I chose it particularly because of these words. And I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen with the conversation with the Archbishop this week, and now most of you are aware. But these words are very, very important to me. And for all of those who think that we are in a position of perhaps influence, I would not say power, but in a position of influence where we affect or not people's relationship with God and with community and how we view ourselves. These words are very important. You have been trusted to look after something precious. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We are not alone. We are not single lovers. We are lovers together. Faith, hope, and love. Strongest of these is love. God is love.